All right, well, welcome, welcome. We are in the Sermon on the Mount, so Matthew chapter 5. You're just going to get used to it at some point, and you'll be like, oh, there goes Ed, time for Matthew chapter 5. You're going to get used to it. That's what we want you to do, is get used to it and be reading through it, especially chapter 5. That's where we're going to spend our time until the Christmas series. And I know right now it doesn't feel like it. It did the other day. So we were in Minneapolis the other day for a one-day gathering. And believe it or not, on Tuesday morning, it was actually 2 degrees warmer in Minneapolis than it was here in Indianola. So I don't know. I felt good. 2 degrees, but it's in the 20s. Doesn't really matter. So this has been a huge change the last few days. It's been kind of fun. So just remember, all the way till the Christmas season, read through chapter 5. Then you're going to know what's coming up, what's ahead, sections of scripture you might have heard before, little phrases you've heard before that we're all going to be looking at in this Sermon on the Mount. Remember, it's about good news. It's about a word called the euangelion. That's simply the word that Matthew borrows, Jesus borrows from culture. That's the word they use all the time when they talk about a new king and a new kingdom. It's time to give good news. Here's all the stuff I'm going to do for you. Good news, and we've called it the gospel. It's the good news about a new king and a new kingdom. And on top of that, and this is going to be really important as we go through this, it is both the already and the not yet. Now, that's going to be hard to get our mind wrapped around. But if it's just the not yet, which is what happens to us quite often, then we just start praying for the day Jesus returns, and we don't understand, but it's already. And we are supposed to be allowing the kingdom to come, and we're supposed to be partnering with Jesus on kingdom coming here, both the already and the not yet. And if we're not careful, we're like a church that you can read about in the book of 1 Thessalonians, where Paul says they just got so into the not yet that they just like quit their jobs and, well, we're just going to wait because Jesus is going to return any day now. And they were not doing what they were supposed to do for the already. So both of those are really important, the already and the not yet. And if you don't have a balance of both, okay, you're going to get off somewhere in what Jesus wants us to do. So last week we started with the Beatitudes. There's a list of 8. We were taking 8, and you'll see where we go today, because the last one that some people separate is really one big one that Jesus gives, and we're taking them in 2 groups of 4, and they're really important for us to understand. The first 4 last week was all about who is in, and it's all about grace, that when you understand that and grieve over our sin, that we have broken God's law, broken God's standard, broken what he has created, then we understand our need. And Jesus is like, when you understand your need, and you understand it's not about you, and it's about everything I've come to do for you, and you understand it's about grace, oh, you're in. You got it. You got it. If you're walking around going, of course I'm in. I'm a good person. I do good things. I work hard. I read my Bible when I think about it. I don't kick the dog too often. I'm a nice person. And if we're not careful, we just kind of pat ourselves on the back and we think we're good, and we don't understand that Jesus is looking for people who say, I need you, Jesus. I need my king and kingdom. I need you to be at work and moving in my life. And that was all about those first 4, who's in. So here's the second 4. What defines, and this is how we're going to look at it, remember looking at this whole thing with kingdom eyes. What defines people of the kingdom? How do they live? So I want you to think about this next section. How do they live? What happens to people of the kingdom? What defines the people of the kingdom? And some of them you're going to agree with till the last one, and you're going to be like, why is that there? And hopefully we can help us all understand this today. So here we go. The first one is the blessing of mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Choosing compassion and empathy is what we do in the kingdom. Choosing mercy. Choosing to give people and to hold back what they really deserve. You understand the difference between mercy and grace. Grace is when I give you something you don't deserve. And we are taught all the time in scripture about grace. How God does this all the time. He just gives us things we don't deserve. I don't deserve Jesus dying for me. I don't deserve that. And in fact, Jesus talked about that God has this general grace for everybody. Do you understand? The sun rose this morning. It's awesome. It rains. All those things are like general grace. God gives us things we don't deserve. Mercy is when I hold back something you do deserve. And I understand where you're at and what's going on in your life. And compassion and empathy is what we do in the kingdom. If we're not careful, we lose that. We see that Jesus came in to, you know, challenge people who had lost their sense of mercy. He does it with the people and the money changers in the temple. One of the things he quotes to them is about mercy. You guys have just forgotten all about this. You've forgotten all about what God is doing. And so part of what we need to choose with each other, what we do in the kingdom, is compassion and empathy with each other. How are we doing on that? How are we doing? Do we want to just get back at people for what they've done to us? That's really not being merciful. And Jesus is like, if you're going to be merciful, if you're going to choose mercy, guess what? Mercy is going to choose you. That's what it's about. The second one, and I'm going to run through these probably pretty quick because I want to get to the last one to help us put all this together. The blessing of purity. And sometimes we read this phrase, and we're not quite sure what it means. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, do you realize this word, every other place it's translated, every other place this word shows up, it's never translated pure. This is the only place it's translated pure. Every other place it's translated clean. So when Jesus talks about something, he talks about clean, and he doesn't refer to the word pure. But when he got to this one, I guess they didn't like blessed are the clean in heart. Maybe we thought, well, that's weird. There's got to be a better way to say it. So we took out the word pure, and oh, yeah, let's translate it that way. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The problem with this is we just start making up all sorts of things that, oh, well, how do I do that? What if it's choosing with all you want to give yourself fully to God is how we see God? It's how we see God at work. That it's not about our motives. It's not about our agendas. It's not about putting God in a box and making sure he does this. What if it's about that? That we give ourselves fully to God, fully to him, all our motives, forget it. Jesus, it's all about what you want to do. Maybe it's at that point we actually get to see how God is at work and God is moving. Because the Pharisees missed it, didn't they? They missed it. Their biggest thing was, we got to get rid of this Jesus. This guy is just messing everything up. We got to get rid of him. And Jesus constantly went after their motives. And in fact, he told his disciples, listen, you should listen to them. They do teach well, but their hearts are way far away. They have all the wrong motives. They've got all the wrong things in place. Be careful about doing and having the same hearts that they have. Their heart caused them to push people away instead of inviting people in. And Jesus is like, no, that's not what this is about. That's not what this is about. The blessing of belonging. The blessing of belonging. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. That God has some affinity to this idea of peacemaking. Now, I need to separate this. This is not peacekeeping. Don't confuse the two. Because we confuse the two all the time. Peacekeeping is, well, I got to keep everybody happy. And so you can have this. Yeah, I know it's probably not right. But you have this and you have this. And we'll all just figure this out together. So probably one of the best examples we've had over the last, I don't know, 30, 40 years is when, and like every president did this, right? They tried to get the Palestinians and the Israelis together, and we got to be friends, right? Why can't we be friends? That's the song they sang every time they got together, right? And they tried to figure this out. And part of the problem was, even though they said they wanted peace, they were just trying to get everybody happy. So, Palestinians, what if we give you this chunk of land? Will you be happy? What if we do this? What if we do this? And you know what the big problem was? There was a huge problem in all of this, okay? That the main group in charge of Palestinians had a sentence in the whole reason they exist. Do you know why it was? For the elimination of Israel. Now, wouldn't that be hard to sit down with somebody who just wanted your elimination and, okay, maybe if we give you this whole chunk of land, we want your elimination. You can give us everything. We just want you eliminated. We want you gone. And they never could figure out how to make it happen. Because everybody's trying to peacekeep, not peacemake. Now, what's the difference? Here's the difference. The idea of reconciliation. Choosing reconciliation with each other shows our belonging in the kingdom. They didn't want to reconcile them, okay? Because we got a whole group wants another whole group eliminated. Hey, we ought to do something about that sentence, okay? We got to do something about that statement. Because there will be no reconciliation with that statement in place. But nobody bothered with the statement. Well, you just want more land, right? You just want more land, more housing, push back the border to here, make this a part of it. I mean, they would just come up with all these things. And they knew it once, and I can't remember the president. They literally showed up and gave the Palestinians everything they wanted. And did they agree? Nope. Why? Because there's that sentence. And it didn't matter what you did to peace keep. Peace making involves reconciliation. And God has an affinity. He says, you want to be part of the kingdom? You want to know what we do in the kingdom? We reconcile broken relationships because that's what Jesus did with us. And I know that's hard and it's messy. I know we get hurt. We get betrayed. And sometimes it's just easier to walk away and to be done. And the problem is we have a little phrase and it's just not true. Time heals all wounds. Did that ever happen? Just give us 5 years and we'll feel better about each other. Nope. Oh, I still remember what you did. I still remember what you did. I still remember how you betrayed me. I still remember how you took this from me. I still remember how you ripped me off on this. Because so often we want to be about peacekeeping. Let's just make everybody happy. This doesn't work that way. There has to be reconciliation. There has to be reconciliation. And you know what reconciliation's about? Understanding our wrong. Not covering it up. Not pretending it's not there. It's about recognizing our wrong. Say, how then do we make things right? Because God loves restoring relationships. Listen, Jesus died to restore the relationship with us. And everybody hearing and everybody in the room, everybody watching online, I hope you understand that. You and I can be right with God because Jesus dying for us. Okay? He didn't come to us and say, how do I make you happy? How do I make you happy? We got this chasm called sin. But maybe I can just make you happy and we can just peacekeep this way. No. No, we got to make peace. We got to be reconciled. And if we're going to be reconciled, that means that a payment's going to have to be paid for sin. So I'm going to die in your place and rise again for your salvation. And I'm going to provide everything to be reconciled to you. Wow. Man, what if we approached broken relationships that way? See, I understand you can't make anybody reconcile to you. You can't make anybody forgive. You can't make anybody. You can just do what's right with you. That's all you can do. And make it right on your side and reconcile as much as it's possible with you. And God says, those are my children. That's real belonging to the kingdom. When you understand, I love relationships that are reconciled and put back together. The last one, the blessing of the kingdom itself is what? Now, these words are quite interesting. And if you've ever run into them before, you're like, they almost don't make sense. Because I'm telling you, you read this statement, and most of us are going to be, okay, I'm out. I don't want that. Okay, ready for it? Here we go. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Anybody go, yeah, that's what I want to do today. That's a perfect Sunday afternoon activity. Let's go get persecuted, okay? Nobody wants that. None of us want this. So it's, what? Why? And I think the why is really important, okay? So watch what Jesus says. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. You're not just persecuted for any reason. It's for doing the right thing, living the right way, following the right king and kingdom. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are you, and Jesus just keeps going. When people insult you, right? Another good Sunday afternoon activity. Let's just go get insulted. We just love that. That'll just make our week. That'll start it off on the right track. Nope. Doesn't happen that way. Okay? When people insult you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things about you falsely, because you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. You're following the right thing. You're following Jesus. But they're going to say, oh, no, you're doing this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. On account of me, Jesus says, because of me. They're just going to come up with all sorts of things. They're going to make stuff up. That's what's going to happen to you. Rejoice. Like, wait a minute. Didn't you just say we've been insulted and persecuted and Now we're supposed to rejoice. Why? And be glad because great, your reward is great in heaven. This is the what? The not yet. So I know, and this is going to be the hard part. This is where this stuff gets really hard. The already is you're going to get persecuted. And you got to be glad and be filled with joy in that moment. Because you know that not yet Jesus is going to reward that. He's going to celebrate that. He's going to reward that in the not yet. The problem is we live in the already. And I'm like, this is hard. This is difficult. Why do I have to go through this? For, and this is our key. For they persecuted the prophets before you in the same way. Ooh, now we're given a clue. This is why I love. Jesus gives us a clue. He doesn't leave us hanging and go, why? Why do we got to do this? Why do we got to go through this? Knowing it's the not yet is when we get rewarded, but the already we face persecution. Well, he tells us this is what the prophets went through. Okay? So in other words, and we're going to talk about this in a moment. Choosing to suffer for doing what is right is how we live in the kingdom. Choosing to suffer for doing what is right is how we live in the kingdom. Now, he talks about prophets. Let's talk about two if we could. Okay? Just two examples. The first one is Elijah. Elijah lived in an unbelievable time. Okay? He lived in a time where there was a king and a queen named Ahab and Jezebel. That I know of, okay, it still hasn't made the top names for girls for, you know, you're in the hospital. Yes, we had a girl. Let's name her Jezebel. Okay, that just hasn't happened yet, okay? We have a lot of negative connotations towards that name. Why? Because we can read about it in Scripture. That's just like continued, okay? And even in the New Testament, there's places where they write to the church and they call it a spirit of Jezebel, a woman like Jezebel, right? Because it's just this negative connotation, okay? So, they decide to run down. And Jezebel, you need to know, she did not love God. She did not follow God. She did not serve God. She had another God. She had her God. And her God's name was Baal. Baal. And that's who they have the nation to worship and to follow. And Elijah decides that there's going to be a showdown. It is great. You ought to read about it. It's awesome, okay? So there's a showdown between the prophets of Baal and Elijah. And the whole thing was they go on Mount Carmel, they build an altar, and they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get all ready for sacrifice, and whosoever God brings fire wins. That's how we're going to determine victory, okay? And so Elijah even let the prophets of Baal go first. Oh my goodness. And it's quite a scene. Because after they have done everything, and they've prayed to their God Baal, and they've asked him to do fire, then Elijah decides, I'm just going to turn it up a notch. I'm going to make fun of him, okay? Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he should yell louder, okay? In fact, if you read the translation, this is how it should read, but most Bible translators wouldn't do this. Maybe he's in the bathroom. I mean, they literally said that to them. Maybe he's in the bathroom, okay? You got to get loud. You got to get loud. Just mocking him the whole time. And then when they were finally done, he gave them hours. You done? Okay. And he goes and they get as much water as they can and they douse everything with water. And he says, God, would you just show up and show off? And boom. I mean, it's amazing. Now, let me tell you what did not happen after that scene. You ought to read what happens after that scene because it's just as important for us. Jezebel did not show up and say, wow, Elijah, you are right. Man, you're the man. Okay? And I think you ought to be king now and I think you're awesome and I think you're... No. She did not do that. You know what she did? First person to kill him wins. Okay? That's what she did. She, in other words, when someone did right, persecuted him. And Elijah, there's a great scene that happens after that with him and God, and God's helping him through because he just can't understand. We've won this huge victory, and now she wants my life. Because just can't understand what happens. And why? Because he battled another king and kingdom. And those other kings and kingdoms don't like to lose. And when they lose, they will come after you. You just need to know that. They will. They don't like to lose. They won't go quietly. They will strike out and you might get hurt in the midst of it. And you might be persecuted in the midst of it. Elijah was. There's another prophet by the name of Jeremiah. His story is amazing. Because God came to him and said, Jeremiah, this is going to be the hardest thing, but I need you to do this. I need you to tell my people that Babylon's going to win. Okay, can you imagine that popular message? Okay, that's just a real popular message. Going around telling everybody Babylon's coming. They're going to win. Surrender to them. And it'll go well. God will take care of us. But this is about what we've done. And we're going into exile. Okay? They loved Jeremiah's message so much that they threw him in an empty well that was full of mud. And said, that's what you get for saying that to us. Well, why? Because they didn't like the king and kingdom he was pushing. So they persecuted him. Can I go to last week? Do you remember the story I read to you last week? And if you haven't seen it, watch it online. I told you Sophia's story. Let me tell you what did not happen to her after she has tweeted different things. She's talked about coming to know Christ as her Savior. She has started this project that we talked about. The Rainbow Redemption Project. Let me tell you what, everybody didn't get on Twitter and say, oh, awesome. Awesome. That's so great. We are so happy for you. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, they didn't. Because it doesn't work that way. Because she dared to leave a kingdom for a new king and a new kingdom. And part of the reason why we face persecution and why we're supposed to be glad about it, because it reminds us of two things. Hey, we're doing something right. And another king in another kingdom does not like it. And they're going to push back. And I know that's really hard. This is the already and the not yet. This is the already and the not yet. In the already, he's like, you need to rejoice because you're doing it right. You're doing it right. You're in the right kingdom. You're following the right king. And I'm just telling you, this other kingdom does not like it very much, okay? But I am telling you, there's going to be a huge reward coming up in the not yet, okay? So make it through. Be encouraged. Make it through. God is on your side. God is with you. That's what this is a total reminder of for you and me. God's with you. Don't give up. Don't just go, well, everybody else is doing it. I guess I'm, no, don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go to the other kingdom. You're in the right place. You're in the right place. And it might not feel good, and it might not feel great. You're in the right place at the right time, serving the right God, and rejoice over that. There is a reward in the not yet. I know you live in the already. Hang in there. Hang in there. God's at work. God is moving. God is going to do something in the middle of it. When you choose the kingdom of God, the other kingdom, this is really important, will not go quietly. It will punish you for going against it. It will. It will. It will punish you for going against it. That's where persecution comes from. Because you went against the king and the kingdom. And they didn't like it. They didn't like it at all. And so they came after you. They came after you. They persecuted you. They punished you. They went after you. And I'm telling you, you are on the right track. You are doing the right thing. Hang in there. And your story might never get told. Maybe nobody ever will know the persecution you're suffering, the hardships you suffer, the things that you suffer because of it. Maybe nobody will ever know. God knows. That's what we're supposed to be reminded of today. God knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He knows where you're at. He knows the persecution you have faced for doing what is right. An environment sometime where nobody wants to do what's right. And I'm telling you, everybody will go along to try to get along. And it's possible. Can you just, okay? It's possible that your stand, you choosing to do what is right, has somebody else watching you. Has somebody else watching you. And it encourages them to do what is right. Wow. Man, you see what they did? They were able to stand up against it. They didn't just go along with everybody else. Wow. Man, maybe I can do what they do. Maybe I can make a stand with them. You know what Elijah had to be reminded of after he goes on the run because Jezebel wants to kill him? And he thinks nobody else is on the side of God. God comes to him and says, oh yeah. Oh, there's lots of people. There's lots of people. And Elijah, what you just did on that mountain made a difference. It made a difference. And I know you probably don't think so because you're running for your life. Because Jezebel said she's going to take you. I'm going to take her life. I'm in charge. Okay. It didn't stop. Okay. It didn't stop me being in charge. I'm in charge. I will take care of this. There are people who watched you, who were encouraged because of the stand you took, and now will be able to stand because of it. And you may never know it. Now Elijah got to hear in that moment, wow, really? Somebody else watched, somebody else looked, and somebody else said, oh, yeah, somebody else did. Somebody else did. And I'm telling you, when you do what is right, and you take a stand to do what is right, because you're following Jesus, and I'm telling you, there's just not a lot of it in our day. There's not a lot of it. There's a lot of anti-following Jesus, okay? There's a lot of that, and it's prevalent, and it's everywhere. And it's invading all over the place. And you have an opportunity. Parents, you have an opportunity to set the agenda in your home. You don't just have to go along with, well, they learn all this stuff at school. I can't do anything about it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Be empowered by that in the moment. Yes, you can. You don't just have to go along with, well, I guess it's 22. It's the way it is. No. You don't have to. And possibly you doing the right thing is going to encourage somebody else who's wondering, is anybody going to do what is right? So may I encourage you today, God is on your side. God is at work. The already is hard because there's some moments you push against the kingdom and they don't like it. And they don't go quietly and they will punish you for it. Some of you are in that season. Some of you are on the cusp of that season and you're kind of looking going, I don't know if that decision. That's tough. Be encouraged by other people who are doing it. And be encouraged in the already to rejoice because of what God is about to do in the not yet. You will be rewarded. He has seen what you have gone through. He is watching. So are you receiving the blessing of the kingdom? This is all about how we live in the kingdom. The blessing of the kingdom. Are you in? I'm going to ask you this question a few times. Are you in that kingdom? Are you in that kingdom that pushes back against darkness, that pushes back against what is evil and what is wrong, and stands for what is right, knowing that God is at work in the midst of it? So I want to pray for you this morning. In the midst of where you are and where you live and what you're battling and what you're going through. It doesn't matter if this week has been a success and you made a stand and you did what was right, or this week was, I just can't. And you went along and now you feel bad and feel guilty and no. God forgives. God gives us strength. God helps us. That's not what this environment's about. It's about, okay, God, I need to do what is right. Help me do what is right. And ask him to show you the people who are already around you doing that and who your stand will make a difference in their lives. So let me pray for you this morning, and then we're going to worship one more time this morning as we sing, I Will Follow You, maybe a declaration to us following God in all that he is doing. Let's pray. Father, this morning I would just ask you to help us. The world seems awful dark. And we've seen things we've never seen before. And the other kingdom so often is on the offensive. But we're told that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. I pray you would help us this morning, Father. I don't know where people are and people are at. Some of them have been choosing to do what is right, and it's hard. Some of them lost promotions because of it. They lost opportunities because of it. Some of them are just down out punished by managers and bosses because of it. And I don't think anybody knows. You know. And you will reward in the not yet. And in the already, you tell us to rejoice. And you tell us to be reminded there are people around us watching. People have seen those stands. People have seen those things. And they weren't done out of spite or anger. They were done out of doing what is right. And Jesus following you. And other kingdoms don't like it. kingdom of darkness does not go quietly. It pushes back quite often, and it persecutes. May you help us stand for what is right. At the hardest moments, at the hardest times, on the hardest days, may we do what is right. Follow you and be part of the kingdom that is the already, but also the not yet. Work and move in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen.